Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title, it's a big book, love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Nicole. She's also my producer. Without her, this show could not take place. Her job is extremely hard, and she does it very well. For those of you who are new to the show, let me tell you a little bit about Nicole. She's a beautiful young woman. She's a writer. She's an entrepreneur, and she's a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are guilty of making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now remember, this is a call-in show. We want to discuss your love life. We want to talk to those who've crossed over who love and miss you. And so if you have a question, please call in at 646-929-0958. Now, both of us, Nicole and I, have been doing this show for a long time. We love it. We love your questions. Next week, we're going to be taking a week off. Occasionally, we'll be doing that in the summer so that we can, you know, recharge our batteries. Nicole has a new relationship. We want to give her some time to really get into that. And people have been emailing me wondering how things are going on your love life list. Is it still going well?
It's going very well. I would not call it a relationship yet. But notice how I now put the yet at the end of that sentence, where before it was just not going to happen. Now there's a yet at the end of the sentence. So I'm not getting my running shoes anytime soon and running from this one. And I don't think she plans on getting her running shoes out either. We're having a great time. We're really becoming great, great friends. And at this point, it doesn't matter whether or not it turns into, you know, the next love of my life or whether or not it stays exactly as it is, because she's an absolutely wonderful person. I'm very, very fortunate to have the opportunity to get to know her better. And taking it day by day and smiling a lot while doing it. So it's great.
Okay, and do the two of you talk a lot? Do you share secrets and intimacies? And is she easy to talk with?
Oh, very, very. Like, we sit there, I mean, like, because I have got a very, very busy work schedule, as does she, which is actually really amazing, because her schedule really, really is very close to mine. So, you know, the time that we spend together is pretty limited. It's limited to, you know, early mornings and late evenings, you know, by the time that we both get settled into our respective places. But, you know, on nights that we don't, you know, just like hang out all night, then, you know, I mean, usually we're on the phone a lot, you know. I feel really, really terrible about her phone bill. Sorry.
Can't keep it unlimited?
Yeah. No. Now she actually just switched her phone plan because of me.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, she switched her phone plan because of me, so that was great. And, you know, I mean, but we spend a lot of time talking, you know. It's like we'll just, like, sit down and, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll just, like, watch, you know, movies or whatever, but half the time, you know, we'll just sit there and we just talk. You know, and we talk a lot about a lot of different things. And it's not necessarily about past or this or that or anything else. You know, although we do touch upon some of those things, and that's basically just to help each other understand a little bit more, because we're both coming from the same place of, you know what, the, like, previous relationships don't really matter. It's where you are today. But sometimes you need that background information so you understand where the person's coming from, you know. So we have gone into some of the background of things. But, I mean, we talk a lot about the future. You know, we talk a lot about our desires, a lot about people and observations. And she's incredibly intelligent. And, you know, it's fun.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, as our listeners are, because we like to hear those people who
feel
like they're on that path to a higher love.
Well,
and
you know what?
Whether it lasts forever or not, it's a higher kind of communication between two people.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You might not want to call it a relationship, but let's call it a communication.
It's definitely a communication, you know, but it's definitely going someplace. I don't know where that place is going to be because, you know, like prime example is, you know, like when we were talking, you know, the other day, it's like now we're in that, I guess, that weird stage where we're just assuming that we're going to do things with one another. You know, so she's just like, oh, by the way, you know, I have this for my sister, so what time are you going to be here? You know, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'll be there, you know, whatever time you need me there. You know, it's like, I don't fight it. I just kind of go with it, and so does she, so it's great.
Well, I think you're kind of, you know, not falling into a relationship, but kind of climbing into one. We like to think of the ladder of love that you're really keep climbing higher and higher and sort of scaling this love ladder, and that's a good thing. And so, you know, take it one step at a time and you'll see where it leads.
Well, what's honestly really, really spectacular about it, Cindy, is that, you know, obviously I've given her a copy of your book, you know, because she's been through some similar things that I've been through in my past as far as my relationships go. And, you know, I mean, I've given her a copy of the book and I've told her a lot about it. She does listen to the show. She doesn't listen live, but she does listen, you know, in the aftermath. Because, you know, she has other things she does on Thursdays. But what's actually kind of funny about it is that without even reading your book, you know, she'll react to certain things in a certain way, and then she'll just be like, okay, stop, we need to stop. And I'll be like, well, what's the matter? And she's like, well, listen, I just want you to know that the reason why I'm reacting this way is because blah, blah. And then she, like, goes on and she explains, you know, and she's very communicative, which I absolutely love. You know, because she allows me to be communicative too. Because it's like I could just say anything to her, and I'm not, you know, afraid of anything. So it's awesome.
Wow. Well, I think we have a few callers, and
we
might.
We do, and I have not screened as usual, as everybody knows. I never screen the first one. So we're just going to go right into the 705 area.
So all the crazies out there can call the first time around.
What's that?
All the crazies out there can be called the first time around. You know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, here we go, Cindy. Caller number one.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Did we speak to you once before?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So where are you calling from?
Canada.
Okay. So, Wendy, did you have a specific question you wanted to ask?
Yes. What insight do you have to my relationship with Steve?
With who?
Steve. His name
okay.
is Steve.
And how long has this relationship been going on?
It was a year.
Okay, and I think that you had broken up?
Yeah, it seems like we've broken up, yeah.
Okay, and part of it was that the relationship started to not go so great, and I know you're still stinging from this because it started out with great promise.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it looks like it's going to stay sort of not being there. You know, he's deliberately trying not to see you. Are you aware of that?
No.
And just trying to not keep this relationship getting closer and closer. Are you trying to bring him closer to you?
Well, I was wondering if he'd just show up at my
door.
No,
it doesn't. It doesn't look that way anytime soon. Have you tried to talk to him or communicate with him?
No, I haven't.
Okay, because right now it looks like he's just going to stay away for a while. He's not. It's not that the relationship's totally over, but he appears to be a person that I would advise you to watch your back a little bit with him. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
always tell you everything that's going on.
Okay.
And I know you're missing him a lot, but when was the last time you saw him?
Oh, probably a month now. I just ran into him. And,
okay.
We exchanged just very few words and, you know, hi, how are you?
And that's why it does look like he's trying to move on. I see that things got a little bit bad toward the end. Did you make amends for that? Did you tell him, you know, that you're sorry what happened?
No, things didn't get bad, no.
Because this is something that if they didn't get bad, it looks like you're standing, because there's a betrayal card here. You're wondering what happened, you know, and did you ask him?
Well, he just started getting distant from me. And, you know, told me he didn't want a relationship, and but yet he wanted one. So
well, this is again, this is our typical commitment phobic who goes in full force and says they want one. Once they've got us, now they don't want one. And at this point, you know, if any of you have read the book, he's just not that into you. I'm not such a great fan of the book because I think it's a little simplistic, but there is some good message in that. If he says he doesn't want a relationship, what are you not hearing?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't call you and he doesn't connect, then what's happening is commitment phobics of this sort, the classic ones, make us closet ones, make us afraid. And almost, you know, in your mind you have a relationship going on, but he made it pretty clear the last time you saw him that there isn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that he didn't care about you, because we all know that people run from a good love because it's kind of scary and they have to heal their issues and they, you know, have to commit and grow closer. He did sort of look inward and figure out what he wanted to do, but at this point he's really walking away from the relationship.
He is, is he?
And, you know, a month is a long time to have not, you know, seen him, and the fact that the universe made you bump into him was kind of trying to let you know he's not coming around anytime soon. Are you doing anything to get out there and meet somebody new?
I can't say I have, no.
Because he wasn't being totally honest with you in terms of why he's not seeing you. There appears to be someone else in the picture. Did you suspect that at all?
No, I didn't.
And, you know, at this point he's seeing what's going on there. He's got one foot in that relationship and, you know, he's seeing how that's going to play out. He's not letting you know this because in case it doesn't work out, he can walk back in and you're such an unsuspecting soul, you're just going to let him walk back in.
Hmm.
I mean, when a person doesn't tell us what went wrong, I mean, he said he didn't want a relationship, but did that mean he never wanted to see you again? I mean, you know, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Was he wasn't very clear about it. The thing about commitment phobics is they always leave those people in the wings wondering what the hell happened and am I ever going to see you again, and I'm even afraid to ask you.
Yeah.
And my advice to you, and, you know, I've seen this at least 8,000 times, what you're telling me, is if
mm-hmm.
somebody doesn't want a relationship, then that's not the right person for you if you want one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe he'll come around 10 years from now, but are you willing to wait to see if he grows up in 10 years?
Right.
And,
so you're saying deliberately he's avoiding me.
He definitely is. And,
I see.
And, you know, sometimes what happens is, you know, 2 months from now, when you're just about ready to, you know, close the door and move on, you know, he might show up on your doorstep, but I would advise you to ask him, what's your intention?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're here for one night and then you're running, because you don't want to leave yourself so open to him hurting you.
Right.
Because commitment phobics, you come back, wine and dine you, and then run.
Okay.
Nicole, do you have any advice for her? Since you know, you seem to be, you're pretty, you know, good judge of commitment phobia.
That's because I was the greatest commitment phobic ever. Honestly, Cindy, the only thing I can do is say that you're dead on. And the only thing that I could possibly tell you, Wendy, is that the universe is clearly giving you signs that perhaps waiting around for him and perhaps making excuses for him as to why he's like engaging in certain behavior or not engaging in other behavior. I think that you're getting clear signs that this is just not the one for you. You know, somebody that wants to be with you will let you know that. Even if they're commitment phobic, they'll at least take a step in your direction, you know. And they might take one step and then two steps back, but they'll at least make that effort, you know, to take that step towards you. The fact that, I mean, it's been a month. I mean, 30 days is a long time, you know. And I don't know if you were listening in the very beginning of the show, but, I mean, I'm not even in a relationship, you know, like quote, end quote, at this moment. I mean, I just have somebody that we're interested in each other and we're just seeing where it goes. But we don't go a day without talking to one another, let alone a month.
And
wow.
Also, what I saw in these cards is that he wasn't honest with you. There was somebody else. It you know, you don't think it ended badly, but he didn't let you know what was going on. If you found out he was sleeping with somebody else, would that not be a bad ending for you?
Yes.
He's not a very honest person. I mean, he is a person that's pretty good at deceiving people.
Yeah.
And, you know, relationships when nothing, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, don't just disappear unless somebody's, you know, really a commitment phobic. And commitment phobics, the truth of the matter is, the kind that get involved with relationships are the commitment phobics that always have one foot in one relationship, one foot out the door. They never leave somebody unless there's somebody else there. I mean, there are true diehard commitment phobics that don't even ever have a relationship in their life or whatever. But he's not that type. He had a year-long relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
He always seems to go from one woman to the next. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. He had a 10-year relationship. And prior to that, he was married and he has two kids.
And so even in those, you know, don't be deceived because he was in a long-term marriage or a long-term relationship that he wasn't a commitment for. Because he's never really committed to any woman. He's always got one foot in, one foot out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, at this point, you know, I would, you know, pick up the phone and ask him, you know, if you're really curious. I know with commitment phobics, they make us afraid to do simple things like pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, you know, you might want to ask, is this really over now? And maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you need to hear this is it, you know, rather than, you know, it's just sort of melting away.
Right.
You know, by the same token, it doesn't appear he's coming back anytime soon. And if he does, you might catch him on a day when it didn't go well with the other woman.
Hmm.
And he's, you know, now trying to get his ego stroked. So be careful. Be sure to, you know, with commitment folks, you got to ask, hey, where is this going and what do you want from me?
And remember, don't be anybody else's backup plan. You're not this person in a glass case where in case of emergency, they break the glass and there you are. You know,
yeah.
You're a person with feelings, and you're nobody's backup plan. And you don't deserve to be anybody's backup plan. You know, you deserve to be somebody's plan.
But I would advise you to start, you know, getting out there looking for a new relationship. I mean, if he comes back, then it'll be your choice whether you want him or you don't want him. Because
mm-hmm.
But sitting and waiting around for this guy, I wouldn't advise it because you could sit around a long time.
Yeah. Well,
so
thank you.
Good luck to you. I know we have a couple of other callers. Nicole, did you screen any of these?
Of course I did. I only not screened the first one.
Okay.
All right. So actually, we're going to go to Mary, who lives in New York, and her dad has passed, and she's going through some tough times right now, and she'd like to know if he's got any advice for her.
Okay.
So hold on. I'm going to get Mary on the line. Mary, are you there?
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good.
I know you've been going through a hard time. You know, we have that in common, that we both lost our fathers.
Yes, we did. And
recently.
It's just like, it doesn't end. I just don't know what to do.
Okay. Are you having a lot of emotional problems with this? It looks like some other stuff has been dumped on your lap, too. So are you dealing with all the estate stuff and everything?
Yes. Oh. We kind of went through all that, and that kind of was taken care of, but, it, you know, I'm still taking care of my mom, and I'm trying to get back on my feet, but the people here want me to move out from where my mom lives, and I don't know where I'm supposed to go, because I just got divorced, and I don't know, I don't have good credit or money, and he's not paying the money he's supposed to pay. And
where does your mom live, Mary?
She lives in a... like an over 55 and over
community,
and the board of directors told me I have to leave.
Okay, you know, that's the thing about, you know, need to warn my clients about things like that. I mean, I live in a co-op, and I happen to rent right now, and I wouldn't buy here because they have a million and one rules, you know, and
exactly.
And you know, no one knows. You know, maybe when you move into a co-op or one of these over 55 communities, you don't never know if your kid's going to need to come live with you.
Right.
And so, you know, you moving out is definitely, I see that a big stress for you. But I do see that you're going to, you know, start having a little bit better luck here. Have you just, you know, put out some feelers for people and let them know, Are you working right now?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I've been looking for a job also at the same time.
Okay, and what do you usually do?
Real estate.
Okay. Are you trying to get back into that?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a job in an office instead of selling because that hasn't worked out.
Right, you want some a little bit more steady
yes.
income here. You know, with you need to put it out to the universe. You know, God knows you need a place to live, okay? And
right.
You're going to say to him, guide me a place. And pretty much keep your eyes open because there are a lot of women in a similar position to you. What town do you live in?
Merrick.
You live in Merrick. You live near my mom. There's a lot of women out there in a similar position who, need someone to move into their house because they've got a divorce or they've suddenly got bills they can't pay. And
right.
They could use someone who could, help ease their burden as well and may not charge you all that much money, and they might also just, appreciate you living there. And
right.
That would be something for you to keep in mind. She lives in the assisted living in Merrick, that area?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Over 55 in Merrick?
Yeah. Actually, 62 and over or something. So they said, you're not 62, you have to leave.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I see that they're going to enforce this. I need you not to, think they're not
going to. Oh, yeah, she's sending me a letter this week. And
they're going to get you out of there. Do you know what I mean? They can be really nasty. And
I know
your mom's really worried about this, too. Your mom feels really betrayed because people stabbed her in the back, by the way. They didn't have to have you out of there.
Exactly, they did. And it's very upsetting. We can't even walk out the house without
In these communities, that's what happens. I mean, if you take up, an extra car in a parking space they don't even need, they're going to turn on you.
They do.
So, that's why she feels really, really betrayed and really upset. But you also need to do what I've been telling people. Don't be loyal to people who don't deserve their loyalty. It's our inner circle that's hurting us. It's our husbands who are not paying what they should.
Right.
Have no problem with throwing him in jail if he doesn't want to pay you. You have to, old souls, and you're an old soul, I'm an old soul, Nicole's an old soul, most of my listeners are. We never punish the people who hurt us. We let them steal our inheritances and we let them hurt us. It's up to you to realize you're going to have to do something about this. Have you thought about taking him to court?
Yes, I have. We've done it so many times already, and he called me screaming, telling me he's not paying me anything anymore, and, my lawyer now just moved to a new firm, so it's like we have to start all over again. So it's a lot of money, too, so that's the problem.
Right, but again, he might get scared just knowing you'll have him arrested. Do you know what I'm saying? So if he doesn't pay, I mean, this is something you're going to have to fight for with yours.
Right.
And do you have any plans at all?
Well, I've been in communication with my lawyer, and he wants to know if I want to pursue the judgment that we have. So
I would advise you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that your husband could afford to pay you. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yes, of course, he can.
Okay, so why are you going to be destitute and he's going to be, having money?
Oh, of course he does. He has everything. He got everything.
Right, and I need to tell you, he's going to try not to pay you, but you have a really good 5-year period opening up. Part of it is God wants you to learn the lesson that we can't be loyal to people who don't deserve our loyalty.
Right.
If you're not going to rob, if you're going to rob from me and not pay me what's mine, I will fight you to every inch of the way.
That's right.
And, I know you're a nice person and you feel like, I don't really want to be doing this. But God is throwing you out of your place, okay? He's doing that for a reason.
Yeah, I know.
And he's doing it to get you to move your ass, now you can't be a nice person. Now you have to fight for what's yours. And
right.
If you don't fight this battle, God will keep making your life a financial battle. So if you want abundance, God isn't giving you abundance right now because your husband will also say, look, she's making $100,000 a year. She doesn't need my money. So God's put you in a position where this man has no excuses why he's not paying you.
Okay.
So get the money from him and then watch your whole life begin to change.
Okay.
You're in for really good things. And when do you have to move out of your mom's place?
They're giving me 3 months.
Okay, so you need to tell God, I need this all resolved in 3 months so that I can afford a place to live.
Right, right. It's true.
And keep seeing yourself with a, you know, making money. See yourself with this, you know, your divorce settlement coming through. See yourself in a nice place to live. I know right now it's hard for you to visualize it because you're getting depressed, and depression, you know, is kind of hopelessness. But that does sabotage the laws of attraction. It's not Mary's job to figure out how she's going to get all this. It's just Mary's job to get up in the morning, see herself in a good job, see herself with the money that's rightfully hers, see yourself in a nice place to live, and see yourself with a soulmate, and just keep putting that vision in your mind and watch God bring it forth for you.
Okay.
Good luck, and I'm so glad I got to speak to you. You know, Mary's one of my favorite clients. She's just got such a good heart.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you so much for everything.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, you can see this, these economic times are trying all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly the message is, if there's money that's rightfully yours, you can't afford to walk away from it anymore. So that means anybody out there who's got a family member stealing your inheritance, make sure you take them to court or you throw them in jail, because God will make it that you needed that money. So let's not let those people in our inner circle get away with murder. And those of you in divorces, to be fair, marriage was a business arrangement. Be fair. You know, it's the most important thing. I learned that lesson from the woman who ended up being killed in Huntington by her husband who owned the bagel stores. And in her divorce.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And oddly enough, she came to me right after she died. She wanted to talk to me. She was a poltergeist. And I was like, I'm not talking to you. I don't agree with you that you took everything out from under this man. That was not fair. You didn't deserve to die, but you certainly can't take both businesses. And I didn't even know they had two businesses. And I was in front of a bagel store in Huntington. And when she came to me, I said, but this isn't your bagel store. As it turned out, it was their other bagel store, odd enough. And she started telling me she knew everybody I knew, and I said, I don't know anybody you know. And as it turned out, she knew my ex-husband, she knew my daughter, she knew my best friend. She knew like 10,000 people I knew. I didn't know they knew her. And what came through to say was, you were right in your book. We have to divorce without drama and trauma. Now my children have no parents, a father in jail, no mother. And I also knew her lawyer. That was the weird part about it, and someone who worked for her lawyer. And she said, I may have had a good lawyer, but he didn't do what was right. I should have not done this. I won, but I lost. So if you're a person who thinks, okay, I'm going to be vengeful, I'm going to get it all, it's not going to turn out the way you wanted. And, you know, be fair. Give people their right and just share. That's what we have to do. And, you know, I can't stress that enough. You know, I know, and when I got my divorce, I took a financial bloodbath, but I still did get enough money to start over. But, you know, make sure you get at least enough money to start over. So I see we have a lot of other people. Can you pick up, Nicole? Did you screen, Nicole?
Of course I did.
Okay, dear. That's why you're
all
the producer.
Right. We are going over to Karen, who is out in the Hamptons right now, and she's interested in learning about her romantic future.
Okay.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, Karen in the Hamptons. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay. So you're thinking about your love life, huh?
Yes, I am.
Okay. First of all, I see, you know, you did have a relationship that came to an end. How long ago did that end?
Oh, 2.5 years ago.
Okay. Have you sort of blessed it and let it go now?
Yes.
Okay. Because, you know, you did need a little time to stand on your own 2 feet. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I did. And a lot got accomplished.
Okay. Because that's half of the battle, is like, when we can stand on our own 2 feet emotionally, psychologically, financially, spiritually, we're going to make no excuses for anybody's abuse. You're going to, you know, go into a relationship knowing it's got to add to my life, and then I can stand on my own 2 feet. In the past, you tended to pick men who were emotionally crippled and weak. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Like you were the stronger. And the odd part about it is, I need to tell you from these cards, you've had many lifetimes, and your true gender is feminine. And you might laugh at that because what does that mean? It means we alternate lifetimes. Sometimes we're a male, sometimes we're a female, but your true gender is feminine. Nicole's is truly a male, okay?
So, I'm a dude.
Okay, she's a dude. Okay, but you're, and in the collective thinking of women is this thought, any man deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, or cheating is better than standing on our own two feet. This is a lifetime in which we've really had to say, oh, no, that doesn't work anymore. I need a good man. I need a strong man. And that's who's coming here. And do you have children? Because it appears you have children.
No, I don't have children.
Were you wanting to have children ever in your life?
Well, I love children. But and I was involved with somebody that had
children, because you were like a mother to somebody.
Was very motherly to this child.
Okay,
yeah.
And that was part of what I see you as a mother upset, because it looks like you've lost that child as well.
Well, I had to cut ties with her, but I think when she's older, I can, you know, and I can.
She's very depressed over the loss of you, by the way.
I'm sure, but I think it's just better for us all, for me, I'm just thinking of my own health and emotion. So, you know, eventually I'll see her. And I'm sure when I'm in a new relationship, you know, she's always will be dear to me.
Right. And I see here you getting married in the future, a really nice relationship. You have a grandfather who passed away. Do you remember him at all?
I had two grandfathers that passed away.
Okay, the one who's talking is your mother's father. Do you remember him?
Sure.
He's the one telling you he's allowed to gift you with one person to love. By the way, he's really proud of you. And he's going to gift you with a really nice man, a man who's your equal, you know, who can stand on his own two feet, who's kind. He may have children as well, so it looks as if there's children in the future again for you. You found out you really like nurturing, so that's good news for you. You won't mind that. But essentially, you were through a divorce. You know, even, you know, you went through something really difficult. I thought it was a really significant relationship, and you did your mourning for it.
Oh, yeah.
And now, have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like or thought about it deeply?
Yes, I have.
Okay, because now, you know, there's some traits that you really want to look for, you know, strong and loyal and trustworthy, mature, and it's going to happen soon. You're really controlling more of the time frame on this, because he's been circling for about 6 months already, and soulmate circle for a full 5 years near us, and, you know, it's when you say you're ready. And are you feeling that way now?
I psychologically, emotionally, yeah, I feel very ready and very independent and financially fine, you know, and don't feel desperate, but in a way, I'm ready to be in a committed relationship, having a companion to travel with and be with.
Okay, and that's the most important thing, you know, always praying for that soulmate who wants to commit, because that's the main issue. People are being given soulmates and good relationships, but they're not able to commit, and eventually that really does, you know, ruin that love affair. The man who's coming is also, he's successful. It is a soulmate relationship. It really is the whole heart, soul, mind, body love. It's an unusual alignment of cards you have, because there's only two soulmate cards and you've gotten both of them, and he's going to be your husband, and he's very, he's got his act together, you know, he's learned, he's a lot like you, he's a good person, he's a giver, he's been involved with a lot of takers, he's been loyal beyond what he should have been, he didn't necessarily see when people were manipulative, but he's learned, and so he's going to recognize you to be like the diamond that you are, and you'll know it, because one of the things he will say to you, probably one of the first times you make love, is, I can't believe how stupid those men were. and he's going to really see who you are. So, you know, just get yourself really physically healthy and, you know, rest and you know, looking great so that when he comes in, you're feeling your best, because keep your eyes open wherever you go.
Is
are
it
you
some,
making any
somebody
efforts
when
to meet
I
anybody?
Travel, or is it, or are you throwing tarot cards?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks more like you're just going to meet him going about your life, you know, where you're going to go, what you're going to do. You know, just have some courage and, you know, just get yourself out there and, you know, follow wherever it goes. You know, sometimes the universe will give us a few duds just to see if our radar is up there, you know, that if we can figure out, oh, boy, this one's not what he says he is. You know, but basically it looks like he will be here within a year. So, I mean, even just sooner if you just get yourself moving and going. So he is pretty much moving in the circle that you will find that you should have met him already. So,
right.
You know, keep your eyes open at work, at play. And, you know, if somebody says, hey, I've got a party in the Hamptons, you want to come, and you're like, ah, I'm tired, I want to go. You know, follow whatever lead.
Right, right.
You know, because that's how it happens. And, you know, please call us back and let us know when this wonderful man manifests. And you do deserve it, by the way.
Can I also, my sister passed away like 4 years.
I was
going
to say there's a woman who wants to talk to you. I thought it was your friend. She were you very close with your sister in terms of friendship?
Because yeah.
She's
yeah.
saying that she's watched over you. Your sister's okay. She's resting at peace. It was sort of, you know, something that woke you up in some ways. Are you aware of that? Her
oh, yeah.
affected you to realize I gotta have a better life. I've got to have more. She knows it hurts you. She's actually tries to communicate to you. She's a little apologetic about some things, but pretty much she's a person you can commune with
okay.
as you want to. She's your mom's still alive because she seems to be troubled about your mom.
Yeah, they did not have a very good relationship.
Yeah, and she feels that there was not closure, and she's sorry about that. And unfortunately, she's one of the dead people saying, you know, we all have our issues, but you know what? Make amends, tell people you love them. And when she crossed over, she realized she loved your mother much more than she realized. And your mom's still mourning deeply for her. She's concerned about your mother. So, you know, it's one of the regrets that she has. And, you know, she knows she wasn't always the best person in the world. But she saw the light pretty quickly after she died. Not everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, if she could sit down with you right now, she'd just love to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee and just talk, you know. She really would want to do that. And so if you could, you know.
Mother's birthday today, too.
Whose birthday is it?
It's my mother's birthday today.
Well, that's why she's concerned about your mom. Your mom is really sad today. Instead of being happy, she's really sad. You know what? When you lose a child, it goes against every natural course of life. And sometimes mothers almost never, like, you know, life doesn't feel like a gift anymore when you've lost your child. So, I need to tell anybody out there, it's harder to bury those people we have mixed feelings for than it is for people we just loved, right? Because we feel like we've lost an opportunity to make it better. We realize we wasted years. We realize there was a lot we wanted to say that we didn't say, but it's not too late. You can talk to them now. She's asking you to give your mother a gift from her of any sort and tell her that she loves her mother. And her mother, your mom has a lot of living left to do, and sometimes your mom wishes to join your sister. I don't know if you're aware of that. And,
yeah.
And you need to tell her, your sister will be the first one to greet her, but she's not ready for her yet.
Okay.
And beg her to forgive your sister. Your sister did some stuff that she's not very proud of. Do you know what she's talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's asking your mother to forgive her, and your mom was a really good mother, and we're not all that responsible for how our children turn out. Only 15% the mother, 15% is the father. 20% is our culture. It's a drug-infested, narcissistic culture. 50% is their own karma. Some children come with heavy karma. And you could be a really good parent and have a really hard child to raise. And you could be a really rotten parent and have the greatest kid. So, you know, all of us as parents have to get over our own narcissism. We're not so responsible for every aspect of our children. Because sometimes mothers wonder, you know, your mom wonders what she did wrong. Your sister's saying she was a good mother. So, if you know, and that's something your mom doubts. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I do. I do know.
I think my
parents are just really, my sister too, and I have a younger brother. I think they just want to see me settled in a happy relationship. In this.
Why not? I have a 30-year-old daughter. What would make me happier is that she had a good person beside her. You know, that would make me really happy. I just want to see her happy. I want to see her loved and taken care of and taking care of somebody. So I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a selfish wish on our part. It's just that if I were to die tomorrow, I'd feel a lot happier that Shauna had somebody there for her.
Right.
So, your sister's up there saying, don't worry, we know this guy. He's really good, you know. He's gonna be the best guy ever. So just talk to your sister a lot. She's a lot different than she was on Earth. She's what you remember when she was little, not, you know, trying to forget some of the other stuff and remember when she was little. You know,
all right.
Remember them before, you know, before everything went down.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and I know we have a lot of callers, and we're going to try to move
on.
Thank
you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Cindy. Yeah, we're moving on because we have a lot of late callers joining us today. So if I don't get to everybody, I do apologize.
We'll be on the air, not next week, but on June 24th. So
yes,
we'll be back because Nicole and
absolutely.
I are taking a little rest.
Mental sabbatical.
Next caller, please.
You got it. Actually, the next caller is Sal. He wanted to say something to you quick, Sin.
Okay, sure. Hi.
Cindy, what's happening?
Oh, everything's good here. How about with you?
I quit my job today.
Oh,
looking
okay.
For an old one.
I'm not surprised because it didn't seem like you were happy. So,
I wasn't happy. Yeah.
And you know what? You're about the third person I've spoken to today. Remember, I usually read about 8 people a day. You know, people are starting to quit the jobs that they're not being treated well at. And you know what? Everybody thinks it's a bad economy. You should be lucky to have a job. No, if people are not good to you, move on and find something better.
I'm gonna find something better. I mean, I got some things in the works right now, so it should work out.
It's hard,
but,
it's hard to find a job when you're working, you know what I mean? So, a different job.
I quit that job. I know, it wasn't for me, you know what I mean?
Well, that's
let's
good.
Let's hope something's in the future.
Well, let me grab a card or two on you, and let's see what's going on for you. But, again, if we're not happy, we don't have to stay. And don't beat yourself over the head with worry. Things look good. You're definitely going to get a better job, by the way. So,
good.
You're in the air conditioning field right now, right?
Yes, yes.
So, look, I mean, air conditions, is that not important right now? So,
sure it is.
And if you don't make
sure
the money, if you don't make the money now, you know, you're not going to make it through the winter. So you need to make sure you get a really good job. So.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So
a couple things.
Don't worry about it. And, you know, already you're just learning that we don't have to stay where we're unhappy. You know,
real quick, I learned that Rose meant to scare his kids this Memorial Day weekend. It's only been a year, but I know what you told me about that. But I just wanted to see where she was at with that. I think it was smoke and mirrors job with this guy.
Well, because you know what? She's wondering if he's going to commit to her. So he's trying to show her, yes, look, I'll let you meet my kids. I'll let you do this. I'll let you do that. Because she was asking where the relationship was going to go.
Right.
And, again, you know, he's still got one foot with his ex anyway and one foot wherever, so.
I just wonder if she's ever coming back or no.
Again, it's pretty much what we said to Wendy in Canada. At this point, what are you not hearing? I mean, she's not ready yet, so, you know, how long are you going to wait for her?
I'm not going to wait any much longer.
See already you quitting your jobs already. You're saying, I've had enough, you know what I mean? And you know, pretty much put in a time frame. If she's not back in the next month or so, that's it. Because, You know, you've told her you loved her. You told her you're ready to commit. And, you know, she always blamed it on you that you were the commitment phobic. Well, now it proves that she was a closet one because she keeps picking married men who can't commit. And when somebody wants to commit, they run.
Well, exactly. But I don't see this relationship working out. I think that just because she met the guy's kids, she's thinking that's all hunky-dory and this guy's going to turn the page on her.
Well, and again, you know, at this point, you know, maybe she just wants the illusion. Maybe she just wants the smoke and mirror because she's afraid of commitment. She really is at this point. And, you know, so she knows she has you, and that's part of it. She feels like she can take her time.
I haven't talked to her in a month.
Well, I need to tell you, all the commitment phobics out there, you know, you're leaving people stringing around for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. But there is an unconscious thought that if I leave him out there, he'll find somebody else and he'll get me off the hook. And that's what commitment phobics, part of them want you. They just can't come to that higher level. They can't heal. And so if you find somebody else that gets her off the hook, and if you don't, well, that still gives her time to figure out. And I need to tell the commitment phobics, you know, you push people too far and eventually they move on. I've done it, Nicole's done it, and you'll do it. You know, so.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering that if this guy has any intentions on really being with her or not.
Well, I think right now they're both in la-la land. So, you know, it looks like, you know, he's telling her what she wants to hear, but it's not a very good relationship. It's really toxic love, and toxic love has that unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, don't leave each other.
Right.
So, I mean, this could go on for a long time. Toxic love, you know, people stay in crappy love way too long, and they run from higher love. We all know bad relationships that people have stayed in forever. And, you know, remember, he allows her to drink and do, and you know, soulmates can't have addictions. It just doesn't work. It destroys it, and he doesn't care.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is meeting those kids, I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah,
but
well,
that might
it
be...
was, you know, it was something to make her think that, you know, he's getting ready, more ready to commit to her. You know,
but he's not.
It looks like it's just, like you're saying, smoke and mirrors. But at this point, she could stay with him another year or two. Are you willing to wait?
No.
That's what I'm saying, you know. With, you know, what are you not hearing? If she's, you know, you might want to, a month or so from now, say, look, I'm really ready to move on, so I just want to make sure you're ready to close the door. You know?
So you're saying if she ain't back in a month or shit doesn't go wrong in a month with her, then I should just move on.
Right, and tell her. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, just tell her, look, I'm moving on. You know, I wish you well, but I can't wait anymore. I can't do this. It's too hurtful.
I haven't talked to him. I don't plan on breaking that contract. I don't plan on, you know, even breaking that phone communication at this point.
I don't blame you. You know what I'm saying? So put it in your mind, the contract for by a month from now. His commitment phobics of this nature now, she can go on for years. And
I mean, you don't see this guy breaking up with her? I mean, Jen was around tonight. We read the college.
They break, you know, whatever. It's toxic love. There's no way of telling how long a person will stay in a bad relationship. I have more clients in bad relationships that know the person's cheating, knowing that the person's lying, knowing that they're stealing or whatever they're doing, and they still don't break up. So,
you see this guy cheating on her?
I just see he's got one foot somewhere else, but...
From what Jen told me is we read the cards tonight, me and Jen, and she says this guy's leaving. I mean, he's already left in his mind. He hasn't physically left yet, but it's a slow process of him moving on.
Yeah, but it looks pretty much as if this can still go on with one foot there, one foot out. So.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I'll give it another 30 days.
Magnet. You know, it's a magnet as strong as a higher love. Okay, well, we want to move on. We have a few, a few more.
Oh, yeah, good.
Okay,
I'll call.
Good luck. I'll speak to you soon.
All right, we're moving on to Natasha, Cindy. And actually, real quick, I just want to address one question that was in the chat room before we go over to Natasha. Basically, this girl has had a very, very big crush on a man named Scott. He is a Marine in Iraq. and she thought that he felt the same. They talked daily on Messenger, and now they haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks. And they're very concerned as to you know, where he is and what's going on. And they say that he's supposed to be back in July, you know, back into her area. So she wants to know if you can possibly tell her anything about Scott.
Okay. I wonder if she checked and make sure nothing's happened to him. I don't, you know.
Well, she didn't say that she had a relationship. She just said that she had a crush on him and that they were talking.
And I need to tell you, what I'm seeing here is that he's doing the long distance thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like I'm repeating the same stuff over and over again, but some people can do very good long distance and communicating, but isn't it funny how he fell off the face of the earth when he's supposed to be returning where they could actually meet?
I was thinking the same thing.
And, you know, I mean, he's depressed about it because part of him, you know, likes her, but it appears to me that, you know, she might not know all that there is about Scott. He might have someone else. And at this point, it looks like he wasn't playing fair with her. And, you know, unfortunately, she probably would have heard something if something happened to him, but it looks more to me that he just is cutting it off because he's returning home. And that's sad. And I've seen this a lot, you know what I mean? And it's really sad. And, you know, if I were her, I would put a communication out to him and say, look, you know, we were communicating. Now that you're coming home, it appears that, you know, you've cut it off. I understand if that's the case, but I was giving you my time and writing to you and caring about you. It would have been only kind to let me know that it's over and that, you know, you're not communicating with me. To just do this as an act of coward. I mean, you're a soldier. You're at war. I mean, can't you show a little courage here?
Can you be a little bit more confrontational?
Right. I mean, but that's a commitment phobic thing. They disappear. Like, you know, Wendy in Canada was saying, you know, he's like dissolved. I don't want a relationship, and then he disappears. You know, I mean, this is, you know, a pattern over and over again. You know, barring that he got hurt and, you know, or it appears that something did happen there. I don't know if it was to him or somebody else, but, you know, that could have upset him. But still, you know, if they were communicating regularly, an email or something would have been important. And if something happened to him in Iraq, usually the other soldiers would have communicated with her and let her know.
Okay.
So it appears to me he just got scared.
All right. And now we're going to move on. I hope that helped, you know, to our little chat room friend. And all right, we're going to move on to Natasha with the last 7 minutes that we have here. And she's calling us from California, Cindy, and she wants to know if you can see a relationship in the near future.
Okay.
Hello, Natasha.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. And one of the things that's so great about people asking the question, is there a relationship in the future for me? That brings the law of attraction to you. It says you want one. You know,
right.
So you really have a wonderful 5-year period opening up. You've got the chariot. The chariot's a gift from God. You have to be a good person. This card tells me, you know, you've been a hardworking person of integrity and honesty, and maybe, you know, things haven't turned out the way you wanted them to, but you're still a very good person. I can see you're getting over a big heartbreak here. Did you have a relationship that ended hard for you?
Yes, I did.
Because, you know, there's this heart with three swords in it. I mean, that's a person who's been hurt. But by now it looks like you've made some peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you learned the lessons in the ending of the relationship?
Yes, I have.
There are many, many, many lessons. And when we learn them all, and I always tell people we also have to take responsibility for what our part was. Even, you know, when I have women who are with men who are really horrible and you know, they stay with him, and eventually I'll say, you know, your part is that you allowed him to be this horrible. You know,
right.
We have to take responsibility. Why the hell did we take all that crap? You know, if in the beginning we had told him this is not acceptable, he would have either stopped it and been a better person, which would have been great, or we would have left. So, you know, taking the responsibility is important. This new love is going to change your whole life. I'll give you a little hints about him. It's going to happen quickly. This is a love that, you know, you need some courage, because this is going to be a soulmate love that, you know, you meet the guy, you love him. I mean, it's not like, because at this point you need something to bypass some logic. You know, he just sort of jumps into your being. He's very loving, he's very loyal, and he's very trustworthy. And are you ready for this whole massive change in your life? Because this kind of love does change everything.
Absolutely.
And have you made space for him in your life?
Definitely. I've done a lot of work on myself, a lot.
Okay, yes. And I could see that you're much stronger psychologically. You're getting a lot of divine guidance, by the way,
okay.
Telling you that this is coming. Your dad has passed away?
Yes.
Because
yes.
He's the one who's going to gift you with this man, because he just jumped into the room.
Oh,
very excited to tell you about this wonderful man who's coming. And, you know, soulmate love is a divine conspiracy of heaven and earth. It is a gift from God and from someone who's passed on who loved us. They're allowed to gift us with one person to love, and this is from your dad.
Oh, wow, okay.
And he's saying to you, you'll know it's from me, because there'll be certain things that he will say or do that you know this guy came from your father. And, you know, your dad is a little apologetic. Do you know why he would be that way?
Yeah.
So, you know, forgive him. You know, he's changed. Remember, I can't stress enough, some people die and they really do change and relatively quickly, and they really see what they could have done better. Other people die and they're still mean son of a bitches. I mean, really, they're not the nicest people to talk to. So
right.
Your dad is really, really wanting to, like, make amends, and this is his gift to you. And he's saying, make no excuses for anybody's behavior. You expect this man to treat you with respect, and he will, because he won't think of it otherwise. So it's really, really important that you know this comes from your dad, and you're still close with your mom?
Yes, I am.
Because your
yes.
dad loves that, you know, and just know that your dad loved you. He should have told you more. He should
mm-hmm.
have told you that more. And so if you okay. can know that your dad, part of this gift is so much from your dad, and the heaven and earth conspiracy is that any soulmate relationship, you can almost track how you met the person. Like, you had to meet this person, and then you had to meet that person, and then you had to be there. And this person had to meet that person, and they had to meet. And it's almost fun to really see that, but it's going to happen quickly.
Do you know how far down the line it is before I meet
them? It's almost immediately. I mean, it's here. So just, you know, get yourself out there and, you know, be ready.
Do you know what he looks like? Do you have a physical description of him?
It's very hard to pick up on physical, but he's actually very attractive to you,
okay.
and is close to your age. You know, so it's not there's not a big age difference or anything like that.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we only have 1 minute, and I want to shout out to everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope we help you. If you listen regularly, you're going to learn a lot about love, and we want you to have the best love life possible. Nicole, enjoy next week off.
Yes.
We'll have our show on the 24th. Do you have a shout-out, Nicole?
Yeah. I am just going to shout out to what did we decide my friend's name was, Cindy?
Hattie.
Okay, well, I'm going to shout out to her tonight, because I haven't done that yet, so I'm just going to shout out to her tonight. So.
Okay, and that's really important. And you know, if you hear the same themes recurring, it's because we're not all that unique and we're all making the same mistakes over and over again. So after a while, you listen to the show long enough, it gets hammered into your head.
That is very true. I could vouch for that, Cindy.
Well, have a great week, 2 weeks to come, and we'll see you then.
And goodbye.